everybody. It's Marvel Movie News. We're going to talk a little bit about Doctor Strange. Not much, because I know I'm going to drive you nuts if I talk about it for too long. But we've also got Defenders. We've got some Stan Lee news. We've got some Deadpool stuff coming up. And today is Doom's birthday! So stay right there. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now... here's Popcorn Talks.
It's really dumb. It's really dumb.
No, who beeps?
Who freaking beeps?
I think
beeps?
You Morse coded yourself. You had to stream on that. Boop, 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 boop. You communicated between your monkey mind and
it's
your
like
own mind.
My monkey mind?
News
Yeah, news alert. We're talking about Doctor Strange. That's not news.
That's what I call my inner like subconscious, my monkey mind, because that's how I see him.
Like 6 months from now, when there's no Doctor Strange news, I'm still going to be finding a way to shoehorn it in there. Hey, you guys remember Doctor Strange?
Remember
Doctor Strange? Remember?
Someone even mentions a pool in the summer or something that having died, I find a way to bring up Deadpool's here.
Oh, that's so strange. Oh, is it?
Is that? Oh. Do you need to see a doctor about your cause?
About how weird and strange that is?
A horrible thing.
Oh, no. Like we said, it is Doom's birthday today.
Yes.
So we are live from Pymtech in honor. That's where he wanted to go today.
That's where he celebrated his birthday.
That's where
some
he celebrated.
Some people go to Chuck E. Cheese. Some people go to Pymtech.
Yep. So we're live from Pymtech today. We are the Marvel Movie News. This is episode 106. Marvel Movie News, on our show, we tell you all the news from all those studios, why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. You can also find us through their website, popcorntalknetwork.com. Follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at The Popcorn Talk. Or on Facebook, facebook.com/Marvel News Show. Follow us there. You can like us. You can ask us questions that we will see in a month because we are all very busy people and
Facebook's
have a hard
so
time.
We're pretty good at Twitter, though.
We're good at
Twitter,
but Twitter's better on the phone.
Well, Twitter's only 40 characters. We can read that succinctly
and
acknowledge ourselves.
But, anytime I've tried to look at the stuff on Facebook on mobile,
it's a battle.
Facebook mobile is not good.
It's not the best. Yeah. It's not the best. So, tweet at us if you want to get our attention. I apologize. I know some of you love Facebook, but if you want our attention, tweet at us. It's a lot easier. And if you'll tweet a link out to our show with a message telling people about our live chat, Doom on his birthday in the booth will retweet you. Doom!
Ooh,
okay.
Hey, I'm returning.
Hi, Doom.
Hey.
Doom's
gonna turn himself down. Yeah. Birthday volume's going for
it. Wow, he wants to be heard on his birthday.
Oh, yes. hey, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Happy birthday!
Thanks for celebrating my birthday at Pymtech so I can nerd out. Forget infamous Iron Man. How about infamous Ghost Rider?
Ooh.
Because I'm rocking Ghost Rider, yeah.
Yeah, no.
I don't know if anyone else besides me is reading Infamous Iron Man. It's fine.
I just started it. It's good. There's only one issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
We're reading all 26 or so pages with such fervor.
Yeah.
I'm about 5 weeks behind in comics for the first time.
Oh, dude, I'm so far behind. Yeah. And again, all wedding planning, just...
I'm usually within a
week. When you're planning
for
a wedding, you'll get it. It takes over your life.
Yeah,
in a good way. Like, I'm marrying the woman that I love, and I'm going to spend my whole life with her.
Absolutely.
But
fantastic.
Just be ye warned, it'll absorb your entire life an amoeba with phagocytosis. Surround you and absorb you.
Just break open the Eye of Agamotto, use the time stone.
Sure.
Come back.
Sure.
Yeah.
Marquee,
I actually
you were
haven't been reading a lot of Marvel comics because since I've started doing the show, my friends have started giving me DC comics.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Which is funny. So I'm like, I'm reading
DC's
Suicide
doing
Squad
really well right now. Like, well, I haven't read Suicide Squad, but the newer stuff has been
Suicide
good.
Squad, part two, where they have a Vixen, mm-hmm. And then also reading Queen Bee. Well, not reading, but you know,
flipping through the pages.
Being yes,
yeah.
Of all the ways you could get trolled, I feel like getting comics is the best one.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, we're now 4 minutes in and have not even really started the show. Barely started the show. I'm Matt Key at The Matt Key. We're joined by Coy Jandro at CoyJandreau and Markeia McCarty at MarkeiMccarty. I don't.
There's an A.
Oh no! No!
The cadence, though.
Yeah.
Is the am I getting the cadence down?
M A R K E I A M C C A R T Y.
All right. You know what? Here's what I'm gonna have to start doing. I'm gonna find a way to like just get what you just said on loop and listen to it.
Like a meditation.
Like I'm gonna.
Like that episode of Dexter's Laboratory where you learn
omelette du fromage. Omelette du fromage. That's Brittany's favorite episode, by the way.
I'll never forget.
She quotes that all the time.
It's it's like.
At least once a week, Brittany will be like, I'm gonna do fromage.
Yep, she's got good taste.
Yeah. We're also joined by, as we said, Mr. Zach Wilson, Doom himself on his birthday, and Colt Badeau tweeting from the Star Jammer. As always, he's our social media gentleman. And how do you guys feel? Do you want to jump into the news? What do you say?
Sure.
There's some news.
Skibby bop ba doop boop.
There's so much news.
Yes.
So much.
This is week before Doctor Strange drops. They're like, let's just go ahead and wait. Let's just wait it out. Why wouldn't you? I have a bit of news.
Ooh.
I ran into Hugh Scott last night at a party who we had on the show.
Yeah.
A friend of the show, Hugh, who was Worm in Deadpool. So I ran into him. And we talked about Fox's marketing and how much he's excited about, like, Logan and that world. And then he was, obviously bummed about the Tim Miller departure.
Sure.
But it was cool to have insight into, like, the creative process from someone that experienced it.
Yeah.
And the way he talked about the writer's Reynolds' love of the character and, like, what the set experience was like, he seemed both apprehensive and super excited going forward. And I think that that we need to give Deadpool more. I think I was too hard on Deadpool last week is what the moral of the story is. I think I was too bummed about Tim Miller leaving and that no matter what, because of the team involved, we're in good hands. And we should bring Warren back because Hugh Scott's a gentleman.
I didn't feel like you were harsh at all. Like we're all nervous because there was a team. Like it was Tim Miller, Ryan Reynolds, Paul Wernick, and Rhett Reese. The four of those guys together made an incredible team. So I don't think that any of us were bummed like, oh no, it's going to be terrible because Tim Miller left. Besides, I think we were all like,
y'all don't get like that. It was more like a, light disappointment, but it wasn't like, oh, burn this with fire.
Flip this glass table. but yeah, it was nice to talk to someone that was like, excited.
Yeah. No, but that's good. I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad. So he is a nice guy.
Yeah. Awesome dude. He was like just randomly wearing like a, your next mask at a party and he took it off and I was like, ah. So.
Of course, that's exactly what you did. Bah!
I might have, as Eminem. It was a whole thing.
By the way, on the subject of Halloween, what did we all dress as for Halloween?
Oh, I dressed as Misty Knight.
Incredible.
It's on my Instagram.
It's perfect for you.
I have a photo of this.
Oh, so let's, Doom is prepared. Let's see that.
No.
Coy, you were...
I was Eminem Completes with Mom Spaghetti. I carried around a bag of spaghetti that said Love Mom on it all night and bleached my hair and it was a whole thing. And I shaved.
Whoa, your Misty Knight is incredible.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I saw a picture of that. I was so stoked.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Well done.
Well, since I couldn't have a real bionic arm, I made do.
Oh my god, that looks so good. Well done.
Thank you.
I went as a clump of member berries from South Park. Member Star Wars. I remember. Yeah. and then my friend Marisha went as J.J. Abrams, and it said, Make Star Wars Great Again on her hat. It was
amazing. Member South Park.
Member South Park. Member. And there's...
Doom just got casual. Casual Doom.
I also had just done Rocky, so I was still covered in glitter and mostly, naked, which was, the way to do Halloween. I also apparently went as 15-year-old Coy, because when I shave, it's a whole thing.
Wait, you mean like this?
That is a very, very mostly naked man.
Yes, and that person that's in the foreground is perfectly placed for you to just look naked.
Isn't that a great Austin Powers moment?
That is really funny.
A buddy sent me that like an hour after the show, and I was like, yeah, that's about right. That's how it felt.
Yep, that's about right.
They gave me my, basically a dance belt is all I'm wearing. They gave me like the strip of cloth 4 minutes before I had to put it on and walk out on stage, because we got it shipped that morning, so I had no time to prepare mentally. I'd been wearing short shorts.
Super funny.
But I
literally
was just like,
let's do it.
And I'm in a dance belt.
Creative tucking. It was a fun show, though.
Creative tucking.
Don't make me label this one explicit, guys.
Yeah. Very quickly, before we jump into everything, I'm sorry that we're rambling on about our personal lives, everybody. But Brittany and I actually went and applied for like our whole wedding license yesterday. We were like, let's do it on Halloween. We'll dress nice. So we went down to the county clerk's office and
we've got a picture of that too.
Oh, do we? Yeah. Oh, that's right, because Brittany posted some of those pictures.
beautiful happy Halloween.
I can't run in the social media game.
What's that?
I'm just like running the social media
game. No, I know. I'm happy that she is. Like, I'm so bad at it. Like, I get so distracted during the day that I forget to check that stuff. Oh, so
I like doing it.
We're happy to have her helping out with social media.
Stuff at us, yeah.
Anyway, let's jump into it real very quickly. Doctor Strange shattered box office expectations for the international box office. They were expected to do on the low end $50 million, on the high end $60 million, and then they came in around $83 to $84 million.
Ooh.
International box office. That's like what, 33-34% higher than projected? Like, yes. Like,
insane.
Thank you, world. World, thank you. World, you did well. Like, I'm very proud of you. Like, and I can't help but think that we are a part of that.
I mean,
I think we have a lot of international fans.
And your zeal for Doctor Strange, I'd say, is certainly contagious.
Thank you.
It is, definitely.
I will say that my friend Tiffany Smith, who does like she does like that DC All Access, and she was on Kevin Smith's show. She tweeted me or texted me before she went in to see Doctor Strange like 2 weeks ago. She went to the premiere and she was like, "Hey, I'm going here." And I was like, "Oh, I hate you so hard." She's like, "Ha ha ha ha! I thought you'd want to know." I was like, "No, I hate you right now." But then she texted me afterwards, going, "Oh my god, I get it. I get your love for this character. I want to read every comic book of his ever. This is my favorite Marvel movie." Like,
nice.
Like Tiffany Smith, a film reviewer, was like, "This is my favorite Marvel movie." Like, said that to me.
That's crazy.
Maybe she was just like, "I know you love him. Like, here you go." But like, I took that as high praise from a reviewer such as herself. So,
Exciting. Cool. We're like, well, you're hours away.
Yes. You're going to see it tonight.
Tonight. IMAX 3D. Oh,
so
7 o'clock tonight, I'll be seeing it.
Text me, like, just yes or no.
Do an emoji story.
Perfect.
You can discern as that. And then after you watch the movie, you can reread the emoji story. Like,
that's good. Oh, that's solid work. Solid work.
I know this part. Yes.
Inciting incident. Yes, there it is. So anyway, like that's exciting news, I think, for Doctor Strange and says a lot. And Marvel puts a lot of stock in their international box office. That's why they release their films internationally before they release it domestically.
It's not. Like, you know how American critics can be sometimes.
I think that's a part of it. I think it's also like if international, like the way I've heard it explained to me is that like American audiences are so, what's the word? Like not stuffy, but just like, yes, we'll wait for that movie. We'll wait to see. Like I'm not sold on it yet. So the international word of mouth helps sell movies in America.
Interesting.
And that's why Marvel releases their films typically. Like, if they know the film is going to be good, they'll release it first overseas.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, like, maybe we'll see. We'll see. Maybe it's the same time. Hmm. Whatever.
Interesting.
When they were like, "We're going to release it a week before," I was like, "Oh, it's a good sign. I have faith in it.
They want word of mouth to get out. Yeah. Excellent."
I see Benedict Cumberbatch narrates dog versions of Avengers superhero. That was an adorable ad.
Yeah,
that was an adorable ad. Marquis, you want to talk about that?
I don't know if y'all saw it. I saw it. Yeah, I put it on your Facebook page.
Yeah, no, immediately I was like, "This is a thing I'll watch right now."
Yeah, it's adorable. It's just Benedict Cumberbatch like narrating dog Avengers, like all the Avengers like as dogs, and then they have Doctor Strange.
It's like a pug,
and I think it's Doug the pug, I don't know. I just love Doug the Pug.
I just love that there is a Doug the Pug. Like, I love that we live in an age.
Is it the famous pug? Is it the Tom Cruise of pugs?
Like, I love that we live in an age where that's a thing. Is that Doug the Pug?
My God, how'd they get him?
How did they get Doug the Pug?
He's a good boy.
He's such a good boy.
He's a really good boy.
You guys want to watch it?
Yes!
I don't know why we would say no.
Hero who wore the suit of iron, then a scientist with anger issues, the god of thunder himself, and of course, the first Avenger.
So noble,
adorable.
Now it's time for a new hero to rise. One who will fight to protect the very fabric.
I've never wanted to be a pug so badly.
Behold the majesty of Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Oh, the Ayamagamoto glows. That's the best. It's the best. Oh, man.
And then
because
of that is why I wore my classically trained t-shirt.
Yes. Oh, my God. That's so funny. Yeah.
He's classically trained.
I mean, here's, like, Marvel, like, they've done some different marketing with Doctor Strange. Like, they've very much done, like I've never seen them do, like, the dog cosplay thing with any of the other...
Oh, no, this is very
done.
Unique. Well, it's a unique film. It's in a unique market. And like, I think it's the most they have to add. Like, since Guardians of the Galaxy, this is their biggest, like, outreach, crazy movie. So, like, I feel like they have to go outside the box a lot more.
Dogs are cute. I agree. Because, like, Civil War, like, you've still got to market the movie. You're still going to have people who are, like, maybe on the fence. But Civil War is pretty much guaranteed $1 billion.
Civil War is Iron Man and Captain America fight. And you're like, where do I go?
Yeah, I can do that now. But Doctor Strange is, there's this neurosurgeon, right?
And he broke his hand. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Tilda Swinton's
an ancient.
But he's a sorcerer.
It's
like, it's magic. It's, you know,
there's power cosmic.
It's extra-dimensional weird stuff going on. Yeah. So
that,
like,
was them in the room every day of like, how do we sell this? And it's three people going, dogs?
Dogs.
All right, so we're now 15 minutes in and we've barely talked about news. All right, so let's move on. But Doctor Strange opens this week in America. She's going to see it tonight. I'm going on Friday night to the El Capitan. And Koi, you're seeing it Thursday night, right?
I'm seeing it Thursday night.
All right, so of the people at this table, you guys will have already seen it by the time I finally see it.
Doom is seeing it Thursday night as well.
If
you're up at Universal City Walk, come say hey to Doom.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to tweet out where I'm seeing it Thursday night, and then I'm also probably seeing it at my work Wednesday, and I'm also maybe seeing it Friday.
The first time I'm seeing it is Tuesday.
It'll be potentially a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday run for me.
Oh my God, I'm so jealous of all of you.
I'm that excited and assuming the glory that is.
I will most likely go see it again on Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have about the tickets yet, but it'll probably be like, it's 11 and I want to go see it again.
Where is it playing? Yeah. Immediately.
Yeah, where is it playing at this moment? In IMAX.
In IMAX.
Because El Cap is not in IMAX.
Right,
so.
Right. Yeah, I think I'm doing 2D on Wednesday, 3D on Thursday, and then with you and Friday.
By the way, if you don't have your tickets already, 3D is the way to see this.
Apparently that's like the thing.
The 15-minute trailer that we saw, or the 15-minute special viewing that we saw, like on the 10th of October, I've got it emblazoned in my head. I know the date. I was like, I'll see it in 3D, whatever. I usually would be like 2D first, maybe I'll go see it in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, 3D and IMAX is the absolute way to see this movie. And like, I know I'm not alone in saying that, but I'm glad to join that chorus of voices. Go see it.
I'll be seeing
IMAX
it both,
3D.
But I think I'm going to start.
It's incredible.
I'm usually not about 3D, but I'm definitely doing IMAX 3D for this movie.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, let's move on to Defenders real quick now that we're almost 20 minutes into the film. Let's move on to
We're going to film.
Let's roll the film. We got Doctor Strange. Defenders. So we've got a couple little bitty stories here. But I think this is exciting. Director S.J. Clarkson will take on the first two episodes of Defenders to direct. Why this is big news to me, S.J. Clarkson is a female.
Awesome.
We live in an age where, like, we're trying to diversify everything that's on camera and everything that's behind the camera because it's belonged to white men for so long.
Yeah.
And I like it. It a lot of times when it's like, well, it's a female protagonist, we'll have a female director, and that makes total sense. And we should do that because we want female perspectives telling female perspective stories, you know.
Yeah.
But this is big because this is just Defenders, and this is a big all out superhero brawl. And Marvel and Netflix said, you know what? It's time to trust a female to guide this story. Like they can tell this story. Let's do that. Let's give them that. Let's allow them to do that. Like, and I don't know. I'm excited that it's...
Well,
I think that's great.
Time has come, you know? Like,
who's showrunning the Defenders?
Oh, man.
Did we hear? I don't remember. We heard, but I can't remember.
I know that the name is out there, but I can't remember. S.J. Clarkson has directed Orange is the New Black, Banshee, Dexter, Vinyl. But she also directed the first two episodes of Jessica Jones, which were great.
Yeah.
Great, great, great episodes.
That whole, like, resume just read. Like, that's a lot of quality TV.
Yeah. So, anyway, I think it is very exciting that Marvel said, you know what? Yeah. Like,
well, that's what I said like a year and a half ago. I was like, when they were talking about like Captain Marvel, like, we have to get a female director. I'm like, okay, good. But also maybe the Avengers could be, there's no, why are we specifically narrowing it down?
Yeah. Like just, there's the second half of the population that you know, has their own.
There's another 50% out there, you know, and I don't want to open this can of worms, but like, it's the same with race. It's like, yes, we should have African-American directors directing films with like black actors.
I'm really
excited. But we should also have them directing
films,
everything else.
Yeah, like, don't tell me you don't love Shonda Rhimes, but yeah. You know.
So, for instance, I can't wait till I like have to explain to my kids how dumb a time this was when we had to have conversations about race and like the sex of a director. I can't wait to be like, there was a time when it was a novelty that this girl directed two episodes of a show. Because right now it feels like, oh, you know what's crazy? There was a time when there were like, everything feels outdated now.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for it to be.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, same, that's my special justice worry rant for the week.
The showrunners are Doug Petrie and Marco Ramirez. Yeah.
They were showrunners on Daredevil, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Same second season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Second season. So they're the ones who brought the Punisher to life. Right. Which leads me to think that maybe they're going to want to bring Punisher into Defenders. We just don't have confirmation of that yet.
Yeah.
But along those same lines, we did just this last, in the last couple of days, on was it the Netflix Twitter or the Defenders Twitter?
It was the Defenders Twitter.
They tweeted out that Carrie Ann Moss will be back as Jerry Hogarth.
Which I loved her.
Eldon Henson will be back as Foggy Nelson. Ika Darville will be back as Malcolm. Deborah Ann Woll will be back as Karen Page. Mm-hmm. And who am I? Oh, Simone Missick will be back as Misty Knight. So all five of those are definitely going to be in the Defenders. Here's why I think that's really, like, this I put in the, well, yeah, no, duh, department. And I say that for a reason, because in any narrative where you're telling a superhero story, you need to find a way to ground that superhero in their humanity. And these characters are the ones who do that. Like, without Foggy Nelson, Daredevil's just a dude with super senses running around beating up criminals. And you're going, well, is he righteous? Is he good? Is he bad? Like, it's Foggy Nelson who gives his humanity and morality a compass. It's a sounding board for Daredevil to be, yeah, I'm trying to bring justice to the world, and this is hard, and now I'm hurt, and now I'm bleeding, and I need a friend. Like, without Foggy Nelson, you don't have that story, you know?
Right.
So, and it, Carrie Ann Moss, Malcolm grounds Jessica Jones, like, Carrie Ann Moss challenges Jessica Jones, like, with, like, Misty Knight, like, she does the same thing for Luke Cage. She's like, you can do what? Why aren't you out there saving the world? Like, you should be saving the world. Like,
yeah, and then about consequences and how it affects Harlem and the people around.
Yeah.
You know, and then I cannot wait for the moment that, I know exactly what I'm going to say.
I know.
Her and Iron Fist. Yes. I can't wait.
Cannot wait.
I love the world building aspect of announcing this many characters, because, like, the sounding board's a very good point, because that is how we know these characters.
Yeah.
But the idea of, like, when you first meet the side characters in another Marvel film, how great that feels. That But, like, we're going to have that to a scale of these are, like, five great actors announced.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to see them all just, like, in a room. Like, might not be all five at once, but just the idea of watching a show that is so interwoven.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Well, it's the exact same thing, like, on television as bringing the Avengers together for the first time in a comic book.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when Stan Lee did that with, like, Ant-Man, Hulk, Iron Man. He's like, hey, they all exist in the same world. Let's all bring them together. Excelsior! Like, like, you're like, oh, they are all in the same world?
Yeah, dude.
No, there's so many other storytelling possibilities. Like, so doing that has that same
like, the first effect. Time, like, when Robert Downey Jr. popped up in the post-credits. Like, that moment was like, oh. And, like, that on a scale of a TV show with 8 episodes. It's
so
gonna be
fun.
Amazing.
So fun. And my guess is that since Iron Fist is in Defenders, Colleen Wing will probably be in Defenders.
Well, she has to be. They have an announcement, but she has to be.
Yeah, and have they already announced Rosario Dawson is in Defenders? Because I would imagine she has to be.
I would just assume.
I'm fairly certain that's been confirmed.
I think it has been, I just couldn't remember.
She's the Samuel Jackson of the universe. She has to, like, get
the She them has to be there, yeah. So, yeah, my guess is that the first episode will be, like,
her running around.
Some stuff. Some S
her at the dojo.
Is going down. Yeah. Yeah, at Colleen Wing's dojo, because she grabbed that number at the end, right? It'll be her discovering, like, some stuff is going down, and she's like, well, I know four people who can help with this. I should go get
these
them.
Specific four people.
These specific
to
four
us.
People will defend us against this.
I can already see her performance. For some reason, it's very wooden.
Like, she does,
she's made a bold move.
She does a group text, or she tries to, like, get a hold of each of them.
Like, Iron Fist is like, who is, are these other, like, I get,
I don't know who this is.
I mean, that's how my culture met, you know, Finn Jones was over that. Yeah, have you guys seen that? The FaceTime, the Facebook Live?
Oh, no, yeah.
They'd never met before, and he was doing a Q&A for Netflix, and Mike Coulter then, like, is talking, and then Finn Jones, like, jumps in on the live chat, and he's like, hey, and they've literally never met, so the first moment of Luke Cage and Iron Fist meeting is live, which is
so funny. 2016-tastic. All right, let's move on. Stan Lee cameos. Now, a couple weeks ago, the news broke that, like, well, I say a couple weeks ago, it feels like a couple months ago, they're like, Stan Lee's already filmed, like, the next four cameos, and then 2 weeks ago, they're like, oh my god, Stan Lee's already filmed four of his cameos, and everyone was like, oh my god, that's news! And it's like, no, that was news, like, a month ago. Like, so, okay. So, there is news that just came out. Scott Derrickson, in an interview with Entertainment Weekly, if they're like PopCon or something like that, said, James Gunn has actually directed the next four Stan Lee cameos. In fact, he did the one for Doctor Strange, which I know what that one is. I saw it in the 15-minute preview. I won't say anything about it. But he's also directed the one. Apparently, he's directed the ones for Thor Ragnarok, Spider-Man Homecoming, and Guardians. Mm. I mean, it makes sense. Of course he did the one for Guardians.
Interesting. Guardians. I feel like this James Gunn fellow might do a good Guardians.
He might do a... You know what? Someone should give him the reins to that
maybe
franchise.
Maybe give him a whole movie or two.
Yeah. So he's apparently directed those, and James... I've got the quote here. What did James Gunn say about it? He had a long quote about it on... Well, let me start off with Derrickson saying, it's a big deal for a 93-year-old man to go to a movie set and spend a day shooting... So James Gunn shot four cameos with Stan in one day, and James Gunn was texting me the frame. Does this look right? Does this look good? So like, James is directing Stan Lee, and then sending Scott Derrickson like, hey, here's what I shot with.
That's great. Because
Stan, does this look
thing.
Right? Does this, is this like the framing correct for what you shot? Is this going to match up?
Ooh,
which is just
nice.
Like
because the style makes the film
so cool.
Unique.
Yeah, I think that's
the
so cool.
Collaboration on that too. And the respect.
Like there's a tone that they set. And he's like, a director has a tone. That's why these movies are so great, because they're so unique. So the idea that he was trying to make sure that all the pieces fit together is really, that's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. I feel like, to me, it's like, you know, like when you have like a writing partner or like you have like a study buddy in college or something, like, hey, I found these notes. I thought they could be helpful. What do you think? Like,
Stanley here and I'm shooting this thing.
So,
what do you think? You know,
what do you think? Like, is that? So then James Gunn went on to say, there are a few people in this world that I love and admire more and have more fun with than Stan Lee. Even though he does love breaking my and everyone else's balls, I introduced him to Tom Holland for the first time, and he said, everyone says you're great. Personally, I don't see it. Which I think is so wonderfully Stan Lee. Because you know he's kidding. Like, you know he's
have
totally kidding.
Have you seen
kidding.
That picture of him where he looks, like Tom Holland and him look so much alike when Stan Lee was younger?
What?
No.
This picture on Instagram popped up where it's like a 20-year-old Stan Lee, and he looks so much like Tom Holland now.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'll see if I can pull
it up. A 20-year-old Stan Lee back in 1930.
When time began and Stan Lee was 20.
Oh my god. Stan Lee's story to me is a crazy one. Because he started at Timely Comics as a relative to Martin Freeman or Goodman, I think maybe Goodman, who owned the publication. Anyway, there's a whole long story there. He was not originally like the editor, he was 19 and he started as a favor to someone in his family.
Mm-hmm.
And then like a couple years later, the war starts and everyone's drafted and he's one of the only ones left in the office. They're like, hey, do you want to be like our main editor? Because there's no one else left. He's like, sure, I'll do it. And then for 20 years, he's doing, like, weird, strange tales, weird tales of suspense, romance stories, just following whatever trends. And then in the 60s, he's like, you know what? I want to go write my great American novel, but before I do, I want to do one more comic.
Nice.
And then he does Fantastic Four, and it takes off. And then he does Spider-Man, and it takes off. And he's like, well, I guess I'm stuck doing this for a while longer, because the kids really love these. So, it's an incredible
Fantastic.
Story. It's an incredible story.
I'll post this to Twitter later, but...
Hey, guys.
Oh,
my God.
We just
got... that's crazy.
We just got a breaking news story. Some set photos from the Defenders.
What?
And I'm losing it. I'm losing it, you guys. Because look who's in a standoff.
Oh, it's Stark. Describe
Misty it. Misty Knight is pointing a gun at Jessica Jones.
Yes!
What?
Yes. Yes, I want this scene so hard.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's from comingsoon.net. Yeah, we can. The lights are like, can't like Misty Knight's off in the corner, hidden by like our the lights, but
yeah. The audience can see it.
Okay.
Oh, is that the only set photo?
I'll see it a second on here.
Double checking the other.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, while you're double checking that one, let me finish. James Gunn went on to say, to be honest, I think I only did 3 cameos. One was shot by someone else, and my third probably isn't what you think it is. Don't know what that means.
Okay.
Have no idea. And then he writes, if I'm writing for Stan, why give him one line when I can give him 1,000? I just kept throwing lines at him one after the other until we were doubled over with laughter. Someday, after you've seen the movie, maybe Marvel Studios will let me share some of these with you. But I think it's so funny to, like, because, again, I know what the cameo is in Doctor Strange. So to think of him, like, having, try this line. Okay, try this line now. Try this line. And to know the line that they chose is just really good. It's really funny. So... anyway, we love you, Stanley, and it is a life goal for me to eventually give that man a kiss on the cheek.
But yeah, so. that's the big one from today. There's some other close-ups if you go to comingsoon.net of the two of them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. That's super cool.
That's fantastic.
I didn't even know that they were filming yet.
I think they just started.
They must have just started. Wow. Yeah, that's exciting.
This week.
That's exciting, this guys.
Quick turnaround.
This is exciting.
They got to. They got to keep cranking them out. Every 4 months, we're like, maybe another. Actually, like, after 13 hours after it drops, we're like, maybe another.
And I'll have another, sir. And another.
And Jessica's still rocking the gray Infinity scarf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Friend of the show, Amy Dolan, dressed as Jessica Jones for Halloween.
Oh, that's awesome.
She looked great. She looked nice. Exact. Like, her costume was, she nailed it. She looked great as Jessica Jones. Doom, do you have a moment on your birthday to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Oh, I hear the music.
Oh, yes, I do.
Cheered himself up. Yes.
Did you hear Doom? Oh, yes, I do. All right. Now I want to warn everybody, while Doom is talking, we will be checking in with Twitter and stuff like that, but we are paying attention to Doom. I don't want anyone to be like, oh, the hosts don't pay attention to each other. We do.
Yeah.
We multitask a lot on this show.
But we also pay attention to you.
So, Doom, take it and run.
All right. So, last week was a lot of fun. We got a prison riot. As they tried to break Eli Morrow out of prison, because Eli Morrow is alive in this universe, and we're starting to get a little bit deeper into that, because he's involved in whatever.
Yeah.
Apparently, Eli Morrow has been digging up stuff on the Darkhold.
The book.
Book, The Darkhold, which we went back in time a little, we got a flashback of the two scientists finding the book, The Darkhold, and what was in the basement they found it in was a massive Easter egg with huge Ghost Rider implications. I'm going to show some photos real quick because this poster showed up in the basement for the Quentin Carnival, where the Darkhold was like buried and hidden.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but when I was watching this, I was like, oh my god, there it is! And yeah, so I'm right there with you.
This plus, when you go out, there's a trunk and there's just a leather jacket just sitting conveniently on top of the trunk. And a piece of a motorcycle above it.
There was also the severed head of a man with a mullet. and a name underneath it that said Johnny Blaze. It was a very weird Easter egg.
Okay, yeah. Take the guesswork out of that.
Basically,
take the guesswork out. Yeah, that's right there.
It's like, there you go.
Basically, we're pretty sure we're in Johnny Blaze's basement.
Yeah.
And that has huge implications. Just like, does that mean that we're going to meet Johnny Blaze? Does that mean that he is... Are they just sort of planting this seed so that if they want to go back later? My crazy theory was that since Eli Morrow is alive, so he clearly can't be the Spirit of Vengeance that's like the rider with Robbie Reyes, what if it's Johnny Blaze? Like a deceased Johnny Blaze who is now inhabited Robbie.
Oh, whoa. That would be cool. With him.
It would be,
that would be super cool.
Tonight, we're going to get his origin story, which is going to be a lot of fun. Also in the episode, Jeffrey, the Patriot, started revealing he was on a debate about the Inhumans and whether they should be, basically the classic mutant debate of people are dangerous, but they're also people. And he revealed himself as an Inhuman, and it looks like he may have lied about some of his patriotic happenings in Vienna, which is our big Civil War connection with him. Supposedly, he was there protecting people during the bombing that killed King T'Chaka.
Wow!
But he may have lied about it.
Yeah.
So the American government, just like they did with the Patriot, making him the new Captain America, maybe propping him up as the American hero in the replacement of Steve Rogers, who's now a traitor.
Right.
So it's all intricately woven, but they are like paying homage to all the comic book origins of this, of these characters. Tonight, I want to do this big tease and announcement. Tonight on the Agents Guild After Show over on AfterBuzz TV, as I said, it's the Ghost Rider origin story. And we have we have such a special guest coming in. I'm super excited. Felipe Smith.
Ooh.
The writer of All New Ghost Rider, the guy who created the character of Robbie Reyes, is going to be joining us live in studio.
That's amazing.
Cool. That is so cool.
So he's going to be talking to us about the origin of Ghost Rider.
That's why you're happy to be working on your birthday.
There you go.
Now it makes sense.
Man. It all makes sense
What
now.
A birthday gift. That's awesome.
Yeah. So join us. We're going to be at 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you want to go live, you can tweet me at @ThatZachWilson, Zach, Z-A-C-H, with any questions that you have for Felipe. And we'll try to get to as many fan questions as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And join us live over on AfterBuzz TV. It's going to be fun.
That's awesome. Well, are you excited to see all of the origin stuff? Because they just released a clip today of the origins, some of the origin stuff. Did you happen to see that?
I haven't seen the clip. I just want to watch the episode tonight.
Do you not watch the clips?
Not usually the day of clips.
Okay, then I will not spoil anything for you. But it was one of those where I was like, that's so tragic and awful. So, but I won't say anything else.
It is Ghost Rider. If he doesn't have a tragic origin story, I feel like you've missed a step.
Good point. All right. Well, Doom, are we done? Are we done with your birthday S.H.I.E.L.D. wrap up?
Oh yeah, I got an hour to talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. later tonight.
Fair enough. All right, let's move over to Deadpool.
Ooh, we've got a lot of questions. Thanks, y'all.
All right. Yeah, well, cool. let's see if we can rush through this so we can just have like 15 minutes of questions and answers and shout outs to our wonderful fans. So some directors' names have leaked. Last week we were saying that we thought the guys who did John Wick would be a good fit. And it turns out
we're in agreement with other people.
So does Fox Studios, as apparently he's like the lead name on there. Let's get this guy to direct. David Leitch, L-E-I-T-C-H. Leitch. If it's Leitch, that's a cool last name because he's like the Leitch King and he cannot be killed by mortal means.
Kind of reminds me of the Dungeons and Dragons character Lichts.
The Leitch. He along with his directing partner, did John Wick, but he started his career off as a stuntman, then became a stunt coordinator. Now he's a second unit director. He directed the second unit stunt stuff for all of Captain Civil War.
So he's already in the Marvel family.
He's already in the Marvel family. I think he was a stunt coordinator for Wolverine Origins.
We're not going to talk about
that. And the Wolverine. But hey, let me just point this out. He didn't write it. He didn't direct it. He just did the stunts.
I just know my brain goes a dark place with it.
No, I know. Same with X-Men 3. I totally get it.
Totally understand.
Remember food poisoning? Yeah, remember food poisoning.
Remember food poisoning? Remember?
But if we're going to talk about Civil War, those action scenes were some of the best I've ever seen.
He is an incredible superhero pedigree to take on Deadpool. The only question I would have is, can he handle the comedy? And my answer to that is, who cares? Ryan Reynolds can't.
I think the writers and Ryan Reynolds will.
Exactly. Yeah, so like you get this incredible action director in there who will come in, who will let Ryan Reynolds be Ryan Reynolds, who will like do well with the script. He's already proven he's a good director,
right?
And he can handle action incredibly well.
And Ryan Reynolds is in a very unique position as an actor in that he's also the executive producer, so he has a lot of control over what the tone of the comedy is.
Absolutely.
And the editor, I mean, a comedy is a lot of editing. Like, the editor really controls the pacing of the comedy. Mm-hmm. So I agree, having a director that can handle action. And like, as we learned with the Russo brothers, like, those guys were comedy directors.
Mm-hmm.
We then learned they could direct action. So it's intriguing to see how this John Wick guy handles the extreme comedy of...
Yeah.
So I'm really excited because John Wick is a very surprisingly good film. Like, that movie came out of nowhere.
Dude, that movie was stupendously good.
It was Because you remember Cliffhanger, right?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, yeah, here's this tiny exposition of, oh, okay, daughter's kidnapped, and now he's on mountains, and now you're crying. Yeah. And I love that with John Wick.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, there's this, his family life, oh, the dog, and now he's getting revenge.
This is the hotel. It's insane. The escalation is huge. So if he pulls anything like that, and the first one did such a good job building that universe, we'll be great.
And like, what's the quote where like they have with Keanu where they're like, people keep asking me if I'm back, and I... Yeah, I'm back. And she's like, yeah, you are. Yeah,
I guess you are.
Yes, I guess you are. But you are angry. By the way, I got to work a special screening of John Wick a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Like they did a special like Q&A screening about like 2 weeks before it came out. And Keanu Reeves was there. Can I just say,
doesn't age.
A, he doesn't age. But B, he's like the nicest, most down to earth dude like I've ever met. Like, he was trying to leave and all of his people were trying to push him out of the theater while throngs of fans were rushing him as an arc light in Hollywood. And he was stopping to talk to everybody. Like, people were like, come on, Keanu. He's like, Mr. Reeves. He's like, yeah. Hi, no, thank you for what you had a question. Like, it took him an hour to get out.
Oh, that's amazing.
Because he was so genuine with every single person. So welcoming. So like, I was just like, I just want to spend like an hour meditating with you once a week. Can I? Like, we don't even have to talk.
Yeah,
he's just so zen and so cool. So like,
so Keanu Reeves should direct Deadpool 2.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. but two other names: Drew Goddard and Magnus Martins. I think Magnus directed a couple episodes of Banshee. I can't remember. I forgot to write it all down.
I like Drew Goddard for everything.
But Drew Goddard, like when I saw Drew Goddard's name on there, I was like, oh my god, why? How is he the second name? Like the fact that David Lynch and Drew Goddard are both on this list is like, amazing. You know what? Yes.
Hey, this movie made $1 billion. We should get anyone. Like, yeah. the list is open because like everyone would want to work on this type of film if you're into that genre.
Absolutely.
Like, if you're a fan of the genre, this is the film to direct.
Sure. I totally agree. So Drew Goddard wrote, and I think he helped direct Cabin in the Woods.
Which had a great tone.
He's been an EP on every single Netflix show.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was originally set to direct the initial Daredevil before he turned it over to the other guy.
He also wrote the Sinister Six script.
Yeah, and he was over at Sony like big time for a while. So he's got a giant superhero pedigree as well.
He loves Spider-Man. He knows comedy. Cabin in the Woods like was a genre redefining film.
It was so good.
And if any film needs that kind of tone, it's Deadpool. Like, yeah. And if any crossover to superheroes is going to happen, it's perfect.
Yeah. Corey, before we leave Deadpool to move on to Thor Ragnarok, do you have anything else you want to say?
Have we talked about the Domino shortlist?
Have they shortened it from every single actress in Hollywood?
It's at like 8. That is not every single actress. It was a good list.
It's a good list.
It's a good list.
Do you have the list in front of you? I still say Sophia for it.
Yeah,
Sophia's
pretty good.
What was her name? Sophia Botello?
Botello.
I mean, she was so great in both. Like,
she's great in Kingsman,
I love the Mary Elizabeth Winstead suggestion, but I love her in any role.
Yeah.
She's such a good actress.
Yeah, she is. Who was the actress that was in The Martian? I'm forgetting her name.
Kate Mara?
No, Mackenzie Davis, I want to say.
Yeah, she's on the shortlist.
She was on the shortlist. I liked her in Martian. I don't know if she's right for Domino, but I know she's been on the shortlist for a while. She was the original name along with, oh my God, I'm totally blanking on the name that they had for the guy for Cable from...
Kyle Chandler?
Yeah. She was the original name on the list with him.
So we got, according to Collider, we have Sophia Botella, who was in Kingsman, Star Trek Beyond, Stephanie Sigmund of Spectre, Sylvia Hoax, I'm pronouncing that right, is in the upcoming Blade Runner, so we know there's a potential there. And then we have Mary Elizabeth Winstead has been mentioned, Lizzie Kaplan, who's consistently great, Sienna Miller, who has been the hottest thing for decades. Like, Sienna Miller... is just always so perfect and like attractive and poised and strong and smart. And like, I would love to have an actress that wasn't necessarily 12.
Yeah.
Like, I think Domino,
I would like more mature actresses when it comes to,
there's no reason not to. Like, there she's really an assassin isn't. That's been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
Perhaps she's been alive for long enough to have done anything a long time.
Yeah.
So I love her for it. And then they recently added Kelly Rohrbach, who is in the upcoming Baywatch, and Ruby Rose, who is everywhere. Ruby Rose, the model turned actress, Orange is the New Black. And then Mackenzie Davis from Halt and Catch Fire, who's been mentioned for every Marvel character, I think, since we started the show.
Yeah.
So it is a strong list. It's not every actress, but it's the pedigree of these actresses. The leaning into the fact that it's made $1 billion means they can like get names that you wouldn't see these names attached to Deadpool 1.
Yeah.
That movie took 11 years to get made. Now they're like the best actresses in town. They're like, maybe we'll call them.
Yeah.
Yeah, now they're planning a saga.
Like, I love that. Is Helen Mirren available? Call Helen.
Call Helen.
This made me really happy because I just love my character getting... like, Doctor Strange is literally an Oscar cast.
Yeah.
Deadpool's getting a cast of people that are all brilliant. Yeah. So, thanks.
Yeah. All right.
And
Brant,
thank you, guys.
So, let's move on to Thor Ragnarok real quick. Taika Waititi, on the very last day of shooting, decided to walk, like, do a Facebook event, live Facebook, where he walked around the set, like, of their last day. And it looks like it's, like, this weird, like, junkyard... like space junkyard next to a lake, and he like was like, hey everybody, here's the set. So the first thing I want to talk about is Taika Waititi directly referenced a character from Planet Hulk saying, this is Steve is playing a character called Meek, and this is him. Meek in the comics, I mean, this doesn't look anything like him. Meek in the comics was like this very measly looking bug-like character who belonged to like a culture that was not like a hive mind, but they had like a sort of hive mentality. They were all like related to each other. They all loved each other. They
I remember this character.
They as a culture existed as a like together as a culture, but not like they were not very individualized. Everything they did was for the culture, for their race. Very like colony, like hive mind sort of aesthetic to it, right? But then something happens where like this very tiny measly character like sort of like hulks out. I can't remember the exact, because it's been a couple years since I've read it, but something happens to him where he hulks out and is almost as big and strong as the Hulk, and he becomes the leader and king of his people. When that happens, it's sort of like, you know, the queen bee of his people, like. So he's like, I am now the king. And he kind of fights with Hulk a little bit. Not like we hate each other and we're enemies, but you're wrong. No, you're wrong. This is the best way to lead the revolution. No, I'm right. So it sounds very much like they are doing the Planet Hulk storyline, but with Thor.
Great.
Okay.
Which I'm totally okay with. And like Hulk ends up being sort of like the Beta Ray Bill or Silver Surfer character, depending on which version of Planet Hulk you know, the comic book or the animated series. It sounds like he's taking on that role.
Right, right.
And, okay, and cool. Instead of the Illuminati casting Hulk out, it's Loki and Hela casting Thor out.
That's great. It's a great parallel. It's a great way to summarize a lot of story.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what a great thing to put out into the universe, there at the end. It's like, sweet.
It's so good. So it sounds like they're taking like elements of Walt Simonson's Ragnarok storyline. Maybe. We haven't really actually seen too much of that outside. Like, but the fact that Surtur was in like the Comic-Con footage and stuff like that, it sounds like they're saying Planet Hulk and Ragnarok. Planet Hulk, Ragnarok. Yeah.
Would you say that they're smashing them together?
Doom.
I know it's your birthday. but no.
I think you just got a polite birthday get out. That was the equivalent of like, get out.
Get
yourself a cake.
I'll put money in for the cake. Yeah. Crickets in the studio. Can we please get an exterminator in here?
I mean, honestly, we try and we try.
Doom, I'm sorry. I love you, but I'm sorry. But good. You know what? You have to swing to get a hit.
It's true. It's
and
true.
Sometimes you miss, and that's okay.
There you go. Baseball.
I feel like the chat will back me up on
that. The chat terrible, will more terrible. Than likely back
well, it's your birthday,
you
so... It,
you say it's your birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
So also, they had the main producer of the show, you know, of the series, the movie. I can't remember his name. I forgot to write it down. But he says, this here is our official Ragnarok emblem, which it will be revealed what that thing actually is very soon. I know I did a screen grab of that. If you could show that to us, Doom, that would be fantastic. There it is. To me, it just looks like Mjolnir flying through the sky. But you know, what do I know? I don't know. It just looks like Mjolnir like rocketing through the sky, like about to break a sound barrier.
Oh, this is like a Rorschach.
But but you know what? Maybe if you look at it, it could be like the Twilight Sword, like from Surtur. I don't know. I haven't been able to really look at it too much and figure it out. But it will be revealed very soon, apparently. Mm-hmm. So we've got that. We've also got a first look at Thor's new costume. Oh, Doom, you're going to zoom in on the emblem it's looking like.
There we go.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Maybe that's a sword, or maybe that's a spaceship that belongs to the Grandmaster. It could be anything.
Hmm.
Yeah, could be anything. I don't know. I don't know, but it's the emblem, and that's exciting. Or maybe that's just like some, like, Taika Waititi was being cheeky, and that's actually not an emblem from them.
Something
from the
else
it's
entirely.
Just like, he's just like misleading us on purpose because it's fun. So here's a look at Thor's new costume. With them standing with Standing Rock, which, by the way,
awesome.
Also, you should go stand with Standing Rock. We're not going to get political, but go stand with Standing Rock.
Yes,
but
he
it
doesn't
looks
want
like,
clean water.
Yeah, right? But it looks like he's only got his cape on one shoulder, like, unless it's a weird angle or something.
Hmm.
But yeah, maybe this is his gladiator attire, because he also doesn't have, like, the normal, like, nodes right here.
Right.
And, like, he's just like, what's up? These are my arms. Which are like the size of me.
These are Thor's pajama.
Yeah, yeah. And the last thing I want to show before we get into the Tessa Thompson stuff is Taika Waititi's shirt, which I want so incredibly badly. It is a picture of Mjolnir as a person wearing shades.
Oh, right.
And Mjolnir is holding a Thor hammer.
So good.
You can't really see it too well there, but I want that shirt. Pretty badly.
Fantastic.
If someone wants to make that for me and put it on like a baby blue shirt instead of the white shirt, because I look terrible in white, I would adore you for that. So anyway, the big news from all of this stuff, that's all fun and like what's going on. The big news is that we got our first image of Tessa Thompson as Valkyrie. Valkyrie.
Now you got it.
There she is. It looks like she's wearing like a very dark blue outfit, and she's got like the tribal makeup. Like there were rumors, I want to say like 2 months ago almost, that like she was going to have a bit more of a aboriginal sort of like primitive kind of like tribal look to her.
Right.
And she's so like in the set video that he did, you saw like those lines.
Oh,
like,
there it is.
Boom, skadoom, right there. So we've got that, but then we also have the first look at her costume stuff too, and it looks like she's also got just a sort of cape hanging off of one shoulder, which is a very like Valkyrie look. And Valkyrie in the comics had a traditionally more blue outfit, and it looks like that's what we're getting with her. There's not a lot to see outside of that's Valkyrie. That's cool.
Yeah,
I'm excited to see more. Like I've said before, if I didn't have Doctor Strange coming up, I think Thor Ragnarok would be the movie I was most excited about, based purely on the footage I saw at Comic-Con, where I was like...
Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
Like, and the stuff that Taika Waititi has said of, this is going to be the weirdest Marvel movie, I have to agree. Like,
yeah, I like that they can have that that license with it, because they have this epic universe. Like, yes, you can have...
You can do that now.
Yes.
Like, that SNL sketch that they did last year of, like, or a couple years ago, where Guardians of the Galaxy opened the door for Marvel to do anything and we'll go watch it, is absolutely true. Like, that sketch was so funny, and I think it's dead on. It's like, we made a movie with a walking tree and a talking raccoon, proving you will watch anything that we do. Fancy ghosts. Here's a lady who goes to the store. Like, go look it up.
Fancy
it's
ghosts.
Such a funny sketch.
I have to.
And it's so dead on true, like, yeah, we pretty much will watch anything that you do. Yeah, you're right. So, like, Thor Ragnarok is, we're going to take Thor and Hulk, put them in a gladiator arena in space with Jeff Goldblum as the Grandmaster presiding over it like an emperor of old. And, the Valkyrie's there, sure. Oh, there's this bug character named Meek. We're probably going to have a rock guy. Like, sure, you're going to watch it. Like, screw it, you're going to watch it. So, I'm excited. Searcher was in the footage. The giant wolf, I'm forgetting that name, Lupin or whatever. So, man, I am terrible today.
Day after Halloween, long weekend.
Well, it's the day after Halloween. I've got a wedding coming up. I just have way too much going on in my face. So anyway, that's all of our show news. And now we're going to turn everything over to Markia, who's going to lead us through the social media side of things.
Yeah, because we told people, hey, you know, it's a slow news day. Tweet questions and the such. And there's a lot of questions, so we'll see what we'll be able to get through. But first, shout outs. Gabe Galagos, @Swole_Hispanic. It's like, can you get a shout out? Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Shout
yes,
out.
Yes, you can.
Shout out.
Shout out. And then Teresa Luz, at Teresa Fortes Luz. This is a shout out to a Portuguese Marvelite. And we also love you.
We love you.
Yeah.
Teresa Luz is one of my big Doctor Strange. She hits me up like once a day about Doctor Strange. Yeah. So she's great.
She's awesome.
Hi, Teresa.
Nice. I had a birthday shout out. Here it is. Jocelyn at Bad Wolf Bay 10. She wanted to get a birthday shout out on the show. Her birthday is on Friday.
Hey, so, happy birthday. We can do that all day.
Yeah, Jocelyn. Happy Doctor Strange / birthday.
Nice.
Okay, and then just a shout out to Berkeley the Wise. I'm at K Heavy 6. I had a really fun back and forth with them about fan casting some more roles for Black Panther. So for them, they had Felicia Rashad for Ramonda. Because there was the Coogler connection from Creed and Denzel as Cyan the Swift, which I was like, yes.
Denzel for everything?
Everything.
And Denzel then, for president?
They wanted Morgan Freeman as a Wakandan elder. And then I was like, Mahershala Ali as a Shebe.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We went, oh, my God.
Right?
Oh my God, is
him
a
and
Shebe.
Docky.
Oh yeah. My God, yes. All
so
day,
apparently
yes.
I just want Black Panther 2 to also happen.
Immediately.
Immediately. And then they ended out with saying, oh, maybe Namor in the post credits. So it's like, oh, that could
That'd
work.
Be great.
Maybe, yeah, because Marvel has the rights to Namor now, right?
Be a great way to announce it.
I still think the end of Infinity War, after everything's been bent out of shape by the Infinity Gauntlet, you see either a hand stretching across the screen or a hand slowly disappearing as it becomes invisible. Or a hand lighting on fire or a rock hand. Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Like a hand,
maybe all
man.
Four
there's so
of
many,
them.
There's
so
four hands.
Yeah.
I feel like
okay.
That's symbolism for some sort.
Cedric House at Cedric House 1994. Birthday shout out, 22 years old today.
Whoa,
happy
22.
Happy birthday.
Happy 22. You can finally drink at 22, right? Right? 22?
Yeah,
right?
For like a whole year.
Oh, right. Happy birthday, Cedric.
Happy birthday. And if they live in Europe, then that was since 18. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So here's a shout out because it's not a real question, but I found it funny. Bono Eno Ono at Shell Factor. Just list every Marvel comic ever put out since the Cubs won the World Series. So, but aren't they kind of still in the running? Don't they still have a chance for this past weekend?
Who, the Cubs?
Yeah.
I thought I saw something.
I can't
something.
Sports and comics. It's a lot.
So yeah. either from 1985 or from 2016.
I'm not the kind of nerd who will like fault sports fans, but
I'm happy for the Cubs.
No,
I'm happy for the Cubs well. And like Bill Murray I think is at every single game, which makes me want the Cubs to win more than I've ever wanted a sports team to win something, but I also have a wedding in comics about this
yes,
and I'm just
yes.
not, I don't have the mind width to
The Cubs are in a do or die situation. They have to it's 3-2.
Ooh. There you go. Either 1985 or 2016. I know baseball isn't one of my fandoms, so.
Yeah, but wrestling's a big
wrestling's,
one.
Yeah, wrestling's definitely one. One of my fandoms.
MMA for me.
Yeah, I had 2 days of AfterBuzz post wrestling shows, so that was fun. Okay, so but questions. And we've got a number of questions. Okay, so from Dr. Bex Wolfie at Bex Wolfie, for the box office domestically, how much do you think Doctor Strange will make?
Domestically, like full run or just opening weekend?
I like opening weekend stats, but maybe people mean full run.
I'm going to say Doctor Strange opening weekend, 70 million. I would like for it to do a lot more. I would love for it to do like Deadpool numbers, but
right.
You know, I think that it's a wacky enough movie that I think word of mouth is going to carry it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Thanksgiving will come out and like Fantastic Beasts and Doctor Strange will be at a war for who gets the Thanksgiving weekend. Because Fantastic Beasts comes out, I think, the week after Doctor Strange or maybe the 18th. Weekend of the 18th. Yeah, so it's like 2 weeks after. So Doctor Strange has 2 weeks to like really get some good running in there before he gets hit by another magic movie. But I you know, I don't know. I'm not a box office prognosticator, but I would love to see 70 to 80 million for,
I think that's solid.
For my doctor, yeah. What do you guys think?
I'd say, just for the sake of a number that has ties to maybe some evil, $66 million opening weekend. I feel like Dormammu would aim for 66. I don't know why.
Or 66.6 million.
Yeah, 66.6 million would be, like, if they came out at that specific number.
That was definitely someone controlling some mysterious.
That would be pretty incredible.
I think 700
You think 700 lifetime? I think it'll do between 700 and 800 lifetime, and that's including international box office. So, I would love to see it reach a billion. I don't think it will, though.
I'm gonna give it around. I'm gonna say 650 to 800, just in case.
Yeah.
And then opening, I'll give it 75 opening. I think it'll have a big opening.
Big opening.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I hope all of us are right, because those are all good numbers.
I'll say 76 million.
Ooh. Ooh. Playing that game.
You just like Price of Right.
Yeah. Just a little. Boop.
Okay, so and here we have at Muthu Joker. Yeah.
Mother Joker, maybe?
Maybe.
Hi! Hopefully we got your name right.
Yeah. Do you think Quasar will appear in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 or Infinity War? I was wondering if you meant Wendell or Phyla.
Phyla Vell. I think they would be more likely to go with Phyla Vell before they would go with Wendell Vaughn.
Right.
But I don't think they need Quasar. I think Quasar is an extraneous character.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it would be a cool Easter egg.
It could be.
And to get the Quantum Bands in there, but
yeah, I was thinking if they did Wendell and they really, really, really played up his everyman, so they'd be like, oh hey dude, you know, and he's got like the bands, but I don't think it's really.
They've already got an everyman with Star Lord
really
too.
They've got a
bit of a wacky everyman, but they've already got that.
They've already got that.
I would rather see them bring in like Richard Rider or Sam Alexander as a Nova character.
Okay.
Than I would like Wendell Vaughn doing like Quasar stuff. You know.
Yeah.
I think that they would go with Phyla Vell before they would go with Wendell Vaughn. So
yeah, makes sense. people in the chat room have something to say about that. Okay. And let's see this next question.
Look, that's just my opinion. Don't hate me for it.
No.
Don't hate me in the chat room.
It's not. And then,
oh, I'm so nervous.
No, it's fine. at New Geek Haven, do you think Great Lakes Avengers will become a series or a film, live or animated?
I think there's a possibility it could ever become animated. I don't think we'll ever see it as a film or a Netflix series.
Yeah. Although it is fun.
It's a very fun series. Mm. I think we're more likely to see it as an animated movie before we're going to see it as... It belongs in animation to me.
Yeah, and I think it's more accessible that way.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
By the way, if you have not read the original run of the Great Lakes Avengers that like saw Squirrel Girl, Flat Man, Immortal Man, like all those guys, like they're the worst Avengers team ever. It's super funny. Go read it.
Gamer Girl suggested that Ben Foster play Nova, so I'm gonna go ahead and
yeah. Gamer Girl, you just stole Koi's heart.
Yeah. Okay, so next question. At Hoot_86, Dan, do you think Adam Warlock or Nova, because we are just brought that up, will be in Guardians of the Galaxy 2? Richard Rider.
I think Adam Warlock, I don't know that Adam Warlock is ever going to appear in Marvel canon because they have Aisha being played by Elizabeth Debicki. So I think that's their Adam Warlock quota. I don't know that we'll ever see him beyond the Easter egg in the original Guardians with the egg kind of thing or the cocoon. So I don't think we're going to see Adam Warlock. I think maybe Richard Rider. I don't know how they would do that story because they've already done the Nova Corps. And they've already got a human in space. I don't know if adding a second human adds anything, unless they were to do something like Marvel Phase 4 in Nova. I think that's where we'll most likely see a Nova film will be like Phase 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sam Alexander seems a better bet for a Nova
movie. Yeah, I agree.
Especially with how he's being written in the comics right now, and it seems more the universe they're building.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And like the Champions is great. Like, with Ms. Marvel and Amadeus Cho, Hulk. You know, Richard Rider's in there, and Miles Morales. Like, I think that could be a new direction also for Phase 4. Is like younger kids taking on like the sort of legacy titles of the heroes that came before them, you know? So yeah,
that's something Marvel hasn't done yet, surprisingly, is have a younger hero at the center of a film.
Yeah, and I think Spider-Man is going to be the first one to do that, but I think it's going to be interesting when, you know, if they're ever able to bring in, like, Ironheart, you know, like with Riri Williams or something like that. Like, if they were ever to do that, like, Iron Man 4 introducing Riri Williams, also killing Robert Downey Jr., or whatever it is that they do, like, I think that would be a very interesting way to start bridging that generation gap, because these, it's going on a decade now, these actors are all older, their contracts are running up, like, it's like, they're going to start asking for $500 million to do the film, rightfully so, because they can.
Exactly.
And it's like, well, we can't do that. It's not a sustainable model any longer.
Time to shift the focus a little bit and then have cameo, happen.
And Feige has already said, like, they're going to have to change the actors eventually.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so.
It's one of those things. I mean, it's not like it's going to be how certain studios just change actors. It'd be like a natural progression.
And we've already had it in the MCU with Bruce Banner.
And War Machine.
Yeah, that's true. I hope that going forward they don't really change the actors as much as they just change the characters. Like, I'm more open to a new person taking on the mantles than I am to like recasting some of these characters, because I think you lose some of that fun of the connected universe when you start having the entire, like, if you have like the entire cast being played by new versions, but they all it's still Steve Rogers, Tony Stark, like all that.
Yeah,
it's more fun if it's like just a new person. If you have like a Riri taking over, for Iron Man, that's a more interesting movie.
Yeah, and it's a bolder move. It has more behind it than losing, like, for instance, the interplay between Don Cheadle and Robert Downey Jr. because you recast that role or something.
Yeah, I have one request for Marvel though. If they're going to do that, please, 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 do not call the movie All New, All Different.
Yeah, would not enjoy that.
Yeah,
I had this
All Different.
I was having a discussion with Markia, and I was talking about Ghost Rider and how, because they call him it's All New Ghost Rider, she was so confused because I was like, it's like, what's All New? Like, the new one, I get it, like, but I haven't like read all of them. Like, no, he is specifically called All New. It requires, it's like a Who's On First that's really dull.
Yeah, we just had that like conversation last night. At Ruby Chan 228, since Marvel now has the rights to Norman Osborn in some scrolls, do you think we'll see Secret Invasion / Dark Reign?
I don't know that we'll ever see Dark Reign, but I would love to see Secret Invasion.
Yeah, well, I'd love to see either of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Secret Invasion, I think, could be a really good phase four also. Like, because, like, just think of, like, weaving all, like, all of a sudden Captain Marvel, there's two of her. Right. And, like, what? One, like, what? Like, Doctor Strange is the only one who can see the truth because he's got the Eye of Agamotto. Well, I don't know how the Eye of Agamotto is going to work in this universe. I'm a little worried about that. But,
I can see that as Avengers 5,
like,
whatever the next one is. Or I think they could surprise us and do it in Avengers 4. And they, like, using pieces of Infinity War to sort of, like think about the character that you just saw since the last movie, pretty much.
Yeah.
That person you watched that whole time was actually a Skrull.
A Skrull the whole time!
And because it's so soon, they wouldn't have to worry about, like, interconnecting that across 7 different movies and being worried about, like, how was the Skrull version behaving.
Yeah.
It's a dark horse story, I think, for Avengers 4.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree. I want Fantastic Four so badly to be in Marvel's hands. Oh my God, you just don't know
how much
I want that to be true. I know.
Yeah, especially with a Secret Invasion.
Yeah, like if Marvel were to go to Fox and say, hey, look, keep the X-Men. It's cool. It's cool. We want them back so bad, but we get it. That's your cash cow. Yeah. You know what you don't know how to do? Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
We'll help you with the X-Men stuff. We'll put our name. We'll help. You can do whatever you want, but please just give us Fantastic Four, please.
which is what's happening on TV. Like, Marvel is actively helping them with Legion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Part
That's
of me thinks all those rumors that the unconfirmed rumors that were flying around about Fox and Disney sitting down a few months ago. I don't know who started.
I don't
all
know
that.
Who started. Some jerk. Some total jerk. is something just about to be confirmed, Koi?
Yeah. I'm actually confirmed that they have Fox.
Get out! Stop it! Get out!
No, but there were rumors flying around, not just from certain sources, but like from multiple places.
Yeah.
Like Fox and Marvel were sitting down. I part of me thinks that they were secretly talking about Fantastic Four, but they want to keep it hush hush and then actually reveal it on screen with, like what I was saying with this, like, a shot of a hand, which they could keep quiet because they don't have to cast anyone if it's just a hand.
Did you see the new publication for what comics are coming back to Marvel in a big way?
No.
There's 8 new X-Men titles.
No, I know.
That one, yeah.
I know. So, like, they're doing Death of X followed by, like, X versus, like, there's X-Men versus Inhumans.
Huge surge of X-Men.
But then they're doing, like, at the end of that, there's a big resurgence of X-Men titles.
What better way to show a certain fondness to a studio than have your comics come back?
So maybe
Fantastic Four? Yeah, I don't know.
And
hey, Josh Trank's out of director jail. He's doing a Tom Hardy movie.
Yeah. No, I know. So, I know. It's exciting. Like, I just, please, Fox, stop being dumb and let Marvel help with Fantastic Four. Keep the X-Men. Do it. Have a great time. Like, your X-Men movies are not terrible. It's okay. I like them. I'll go watch them.
If Homecoming grosses $1 billion, there's no way that Fox won't.
But that's the thing. It will gross $1 billion. Yeah, it's Spider-Man.
I think they need to see it, like, happen.
It's a guaranteed $1 billion.
That's $1 billion.
And that's just the box office. That's not including
All the toys.
Oh, the merchandise.
All the merchandise. All the licensing rights.
I'm going to buy.
Like, that's going to become a $3 to $4 billion franchise just from that movie. And, like, and then Fox is over there going, well, I don't know, maybe we should join forces with Marvel. No, you should! Stop it!
I'm excited to have kids to put them in Homecoming clothes.
Yeah, you're going to have kids by next year.
I'm planning my future for the sake of this film.
So
it's going to make $1 billion.
Anyway, Fox, stop. Fox, just stop. Just stop. Give Marvel Fantastic Four. You're not doing anything with it. You don't know how to do anything with it. You've already proven that twice. Like, with two different attempts. Just stop!
Good question, Ruby.
Yeah. Wow, you got me going. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to open this one more to our chat room so we can keep on doing other questions. This is from at Mark Kostecki. Pitch the best, coolest group shot you can think of for Infinity War / Avengers 4. I think that'd be fun to read some of those responses if chat room.
Yeah, that's a good. You know what? Tweet your answers to us.
That one's a good one.
Do
like
your best
that.
To tweet your answers at us using hashtag Marvel group shot. How about that?
Oh, okay. I'll look for that.
Hashtag Marvel group shot.
Marvel group shot. Okay. So Eric Sundman, at Eric_Sundman. What project other than Doctor Strange are you most looking forward to? I think we answered this during the
Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, Ragnarok. And I think...
Spider-Man Homecoming?
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah, and what about you?
Or Deadpool. Now I'm looking forward to Guardians of the Galaxy, too.
Nice.
I think that's going to be such a good time.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time at the cinema.
Yes, yes.
All right, we should probably start wrapping it up. We're at 1:10.
Okay, so let's see. A couple of people want us to film your reaction when you do Doctor Strange.
I do think that's how Marvel hunts us down. I think they might not like a camera on the key.
Yes, camera on the key. I love
camera
that.
Camera on the key, yeah.
Yeah, and they want to know if you'll use Coy's heart monitor from the Deadpool video.
I'm going to need so many various medical devices to keep me alive probably like 10 minutes into that movie.
Okay, we had a question from, at Berkeley the Wise at KHeavy6. Do you think there's any chance that Ragnarok ends with Asgard crashing to Earth?
You know what? I've never considered that, and I would love that.
That'd be amazing.
Because... Talk about like some weird interdimensional Doctor Strange nonsense. I don't think that they're going to go that direction. I really do not.
Yeah.
I don't even know how much of the film is going to take place in Asgard, as it seems like a lot of it takes place off of Asgard.
Yeah. Right.
Fighting for Asgard. But with Doctor Strange coming out and all of them saying this is opening up the doors to the Marvel multiverse and all it would not surprise me if Marvel was like, yeah, you know what? Screw it. Let's go for it. Asgard's on Earth now. Like, and it's in Broxton, Oklahoma. We're going to deal with it. Go. Like, I would love that. I think that would be awesome. I don't think that they're going to, but I think that they could.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Marvel audiences would be like, wait, Asgard's on Earth now? Cool. All right, yeah, let's go with it. Where's it going now? You know, so, and that was some of my favorite stuff from the original Thor film was those scenes of them in Broxton. Like, all these, like, Asgardians, we are Asgardians, smash, I'll have another. Like, I love that stuff. So I'd love to see that actually, like, on a much larger scale happening.
Vegito 247, full credit for the Deadpool Matt joke. I saw that on Twitter and Mimi gave me the lols.
The lols? All right, what do you say we move on to some quick comments and picks and get on out.
Yeah, I got a
I'll throw out just the group shot I want the most out of anything is to recreate this photo.
Oh, that would be great. Oh, that's great.
Cool. Got Ant-Man and Wasp there. Why not?
Why not?
That would be a good one. Okay. Thor swinging Mjolnir.
All right, so from at Mickey Bell, work colleague got him these at the store. How cute are they? It's a Thundra and White Tiger, and I just thought it was really cute that a work colleague gave that to him. So he tweeted that out. So that's
do we have that picture?
We do have that picture. I sent that to Doom. So he'll put that up.
I don't want to rush you guys, but my ride is here because my motorcycle got hit and run, and I have no vehicle, and it's really sad, so I have to leave when I have to leave.
You have to leave right now?
Yeah. I have no voice because of the show, so thank you guys so much. I will see you next week, and I'll be much more of a person. And I love you guys so much. I'll see you soon.
Love you, bye.
And Doctor Strange.
Yo, bye.
At Square Evil, he said, "Did someone ask for a Drax dance sequence?" This was from last show, and he found Batista at SummerSlam. He was doing a breakdancing promo in 2006. So he sent that. Thank you. Shout out to you. That was very fun.
Oh my god, that's awesome. I haven't seen that yet. I'm gonna have to go look that up.
Yeah, and apparently Batista can breakdance. So yeah, they could totally put that in. Guardians of the Galaxy. And then Ruby Chan 228, she sent a picture. It was a still frame of the Logan trailer where it's like, hey, it might not be Laura attacking Logan at the end of the trailer. There's too many claws. It could be Daken.
I actually wondered about that because it looks like there's a little dew claw coming out.
So
like,
it's a possibility. And I wouldn't mind having the sexiness of Daken in there.
Wow, you just mohawk. Just threw it at, like, the sexiness done. Yeah.
Yeah. Then Daniel Drew at Jedi Time Sand, he sent us a thing where he had a good mail day where he had an amazing Spider-Man comic and Torchwood was in there. Just really loved that.
That is a good day.
Yeah. I don't think is Doom not putting the pictures? Okay, it's fine. And then I loved this picture so much. Adriana M. At Chaotic 86.
Oh, I like that name. That's a cool name.
Yeah. Because I put out a tweet. Was like, hey, send us, if you dress for Marvel or, you know, Halloween, send it to us. And she is dressed as Doctor Strange. And she says, for Halloween, sure did. Even won first prize at the office.
Nice!
And she's fantastic.
Wow, that's a great pick.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good costume. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Absolutely love that. But yeah, that's
I am proud of you, Adriana M.
I love that picture.
That's a good one, yeah. She's got the pose down and everything.
So yeah, that's the comments and picks.
Oh, that's the best. All right.
Unless
well,
you
want to
share
so
the
much.
One of you and Brittany getting registered on Halloween. I believe we also have that. Or they can just look on.
Yeah, there's
this is absolutely gorgeous.
There's my fiance and me getting registered on Halloween.
Yeah.
Registered to get married. All right, take it down. Take it down. That's too much. Just take it down.
David Pumpkin skeleton.
Oh my! That was the dude who did all the registering for us. The clerk had that on his window, and we thought that was adorable. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's our show. We've got to wrap it up. We're at 1:15. But thanks for hanging with us. Marquis, do you have anything big coming up to talk about?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're going to see Doctor Strange tonight.
I'm going to see Doctor Strange tonight. And, yeah, if you like live... I'll be on Screen Junkies on Friday. Probably
awesome.
Also talking
awesome.
About Doctor Strange. And if you like live comedy, tomorrow night, my show Essence Improv will be at UCB Inner Sanctum.
Nice.
And we'll be doing a pre-election show. So, that'll be improv comedy and politics, so... Might
nice.
As well come and see that.
All right.
And yeah, you can reach me on Twitter and Instagram at Markeia McCarty, MarkeiaMccarty, or Snapchat, Darth Thinmints, as in
love
Vader,
it.
And Girl Scout Cookies.
Love it. I love it. The only thing I've got coming up is one of the biggest days of my life, my wedding.
Yes.
It's coming up, it's next Saturday. 11/12. We like that date. 11/12. It's easy anniversary to remember.
That's great.
That's my biggest news. I'm doing that.
That's huge news.
And then Doctor Strange is on Friday. Like, it's like, hey, how many life changing events can we cram into 1 week? Like, you've been looking forward to a Doctor Strange film your entire life and getting married to the woman that you love more than anything. Here it is inside of a week. Go. So I'm gonna be a basket case next week, you guys. Like
you're gonna be awesome.
It's gonna be crazy. I'm gonna come in and be Doctor Strange, wedding, married, go, bye.
Did I hear dinosaurs in there?
Probably so. I love dinosaurs. Anyway, okay. I'm Matt Key at the Matt Key. And that's our show. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mikey.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.
All right, hey. All right, good job, guys. Let's just not come in tomorrow. Let's just take a day.